vision series that we started, and we're going to talk about vision today. I posted on Facebook this morning. I'm really humbled as I look back on 2012 to see what we did as a body. I didn't think we did as much as we did in 2011 until we began to reflect. And we did at least as much and maybe more in 2012 than we did in 2011. One thing that is important to the Lord, I think, is that we truly become the church, not in name, but in deed. That we become the church in real expression. Because I honestly think, and this is just my humble right opinion, that there's a lot of places that have church on the door that they don't really know what a church is. And they're not functioning as a church. I think that's a huge problem that we have in the body of Christ, especially in America. We think that church is a place that you go. Church is not just a place that you go. It's a thing that you are, that you become, that you live day by day by day, every day of your life. And it's so important that we replace our old thinking of going to church to that of being the church. And so I wanted to take today and share a couple of verses of Scripture. And then I want to share with you some of the things that we did as a church last year. And it just gives me a chance to say how humbled I am and how thankful that I am for you being a part of this local body. The church is not a one-man show. It's not at all, unless that man's Jesus. But it's not about a pastor. It's not about a leadership team. It's not about all of that, because we cannot make it happen without you. You are the important thing in this operation. The way that you are faithful in coming, faithful in giving, faithful in volunteering, both inside and outside, participation in what we feel like is a kingdom mandate from God for us to do and be. When we begin to buy into that as a church body, then we can start having an effect on the world around us. And one of the greatest gifts that God gave to the world was the church. Did you know that? Now, he gave his son, but his son paid the price to redeem us. But then he invested himself, and he said to Peter, he says, on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God gave the church for the benefit of mankind. And I know that in many quarters and many times for right reasons, that's not particularly appreciated, because the church hasn't always reflected the heart of its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become many things that Jesus did not tell us to be. And so I wanted to take this time as when we talk about vision, we're talking about a time of looking back, a time of looking forward, a time of focus, a time of refocus, a time of looking in our own hearts and seeing where we are in connection with the vision that God has placed in us. You know, the first 2 weeks that we talked about this vision, we talked about your personal vision. We didn't talk just about the vision of the church. We talked about your personal vision. And you know, an interesting verse of Scripture, and I don't have this one for the overhead, but write this down, Proverbs 29:18. It says, when people do not accept divine guidance, or the King James says vision, where there is no vision, they run wild. And whoever obeys the law is joyful. Without looking into the future, without something, a God-given vision, We have a tendency to go here and there and run wild. We cast off restraint, as one translation says, and we really have a heart to do something, but because we do not have a vision as a stabilizing force in our life, we just wind up running in circles, running wild, and really accomplishing very little. I think one thing that we ought to do personally every year at the end of the year is reflect on our year. I think one thing that we ought to do the first of every year, and it's not New Year's resolutions, it's goal setting. What do I want to accomplish this year? How am I going to go about accomplishing that this year? I think those things are important. And at the end of that year, you look and you reflect back and said, okay, these are the things that I wrote down. How did I do? And if we lose sight of that vision, we cast off restraint, we run in circles, we run wild, and we accomplish very little. And that's why we say this all the time to you, that the vision of the church is what? Reach up, reach in, reach out. All three of those are good things. All three of those things are necessary things. What Leslie said a while ago is that this princess thing that we're going to be doing is a reach in. That's not a bad thing. It's part of our vision. Not everything that we do is outreach. Now, we may in the future, if that goes well and we get all the bugs and the kinks worked out of it, we may turn that into a reach out, a reach in, reach out. But this year it's going to be a reach in. We need reach ins. Part of what our life groups are reach ins. We're reaching in with each other. We're growing ourselves. We're growing in community, and so that we can reach out. So all three are important. Reaching up, worshiping God, establishing a relationship with God, reaching in and growing as a church body, making sure that we're all on the same page, we're all going in the same direction, we have the same vision, and then reaching out together, and it enhances that reach out so that we can accomplish the things that God has laid on our hearts to be and to do. I want to read a verse of Scripture. We do have this one for you. It's Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And Jesus said this. They were questioning him about the kingdom and when is the kingdom coming and are you going to come back and take over the government? Are you going to set up a throne? Are you going to rule in an earthly throne? And when are you going to do that? And Jesus says, you know what? All of that is not your concern. See, he said, here's what your concern is. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The reason for empowerment, the reason for the infusion of the Holy Spirit in the church, into the individual believer, is so that we might be witnesses for him. And he gave us the pattern. And he was at Jerusalem with them at that time. He says, in Jerusalem, right where you're at, be a witness right where you're at. There's a lot of churches that focus somewhere else, but they don't focus locally. I love the saying, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Shining bright on the home front. But he says it starts in Jerusalem. It starts local. And then throughout Judea, the region that you live in, into your nation, in Samaria. They didn't like Samaritans. We don't just reach out to the lovely people. We don't just reach out to people we like. We reach out to what is considered to be the outcast. We reach out to those who are hurting. We reach out to those who have hurts and habits and hang-ups in their lives. It's not just the beautiful people that we reach out to. It's just people everywhere. In fact, we are not allowed the privilege of prejudice, are we? We're really not. And then he said, and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. And it says it starts at home and it goes all the way to the ends of the earth. So he covered where we're at. He talked about the culture that we're supposed to reach, the region that we're supposed to reach, and how we're supposed to let that flow out into all the earth. I know that there are some churches that most of their outreaches are local. They don't have any missional stuff. There are some that are all mission and no local. I think that what we need as a church is a wonderful balance of reaching out. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about vision. We're going to talk about not the reach up, not the reach in, but the reach out. And this is the thing that I want to talk to you about today is what we did as we look back into 2012, what we did in 2012. This is not for bragging, okay? We're talking to the church today. We're talking to the church here and the church that's watching us right now online. This is what you have been a part of. Maybe you're visiting here today and you're looking for a local church. I want you to know and understand what the heart of this local church is all about. You know, this church is not about me. It's not about me. This church is not about my family. We get criticized sometimes because my family is very involved in this church. That's that Insel church. No, this is not the Insel church. This is the believer's church. I'm not the important figure here. I will pass from the scene someday. I will retire or die. I'll do both. Okay? I do not want to build a ministry that is necessary for me to be here for it to go on. Because if I do that, it's not about Christ, it's about me. This is about us. This is about the kingdom. This is about a church family. This is about a vision that we believe is mandated not by a human leader, but that is mandated by the Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's my job to keep this vision before you. And this is why we take this Sunday. I did this last January, where we look back in 2011, look forward to 2012. Well, now we're looking back on 2012, and now we're looking forward to 13. You know, this could be the year that Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be neat if we saw Jesus come back this year and we didn't get to fulfill everything that's on our heart to do? That'd be cool. I'm cool with that. But what if he doesn't come? Then we want to fulfill what he's laid on our heart to do. So let's talk a little bit about 12. And I want to begin local because I believe that that's where it begins. If we're not important locally, if we're not making an impact locally, I don't think that truly we'll make an impact anywhere else. Because I really do believe that if we're going to reach the farthest, we have to shine the brightest right here in our community. We have to have a local presence here, a kingdom presence here locally to make an impact. And I want to say, we're not the only important church in this town. Any church that is endeavoring to follow Christ is vital to this area. Amen? That's so true. We may not be the best church in this town. We're not striving to be the best church. We're not necessarily striving to be the largest church. Although growth is important to us because more people, more power, more people, more influence, more people, more potential of doing things for the kingdom. But we want to start locally, and I want to talk to you about some of the things that we support monthly, financially, as a church. And these are local ministries that we support every month. One of the first ones I want to talk about is John 3:16. We have been a supporter of John 3:16 from the beginning. and I'm bragging now. We were the first church to get on board with John 3:16. In fact, in the early days, the Tuggles came to church here. They brought the guy, at the time, the guy. They only had one resident. And they came here and they worshiped here. And every week we would take up, y'all would bring food so that they could eat that week. Well, you know, they don't have that problem anymore. They have gone from one resident, I think, to 90 guys that they're ministering to that live there. And they have a tremendous budget. And they don't really have to have us anymore, but we're still partners with them. We're sowing into what they're doing. And that's something that we have done since the very beginning of John 3:16. And that's something that we will continue to do, is reach out and into that community, that what we call the drug community, because that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem in our state, and we want a presence where that is concerned. So John 3:16 is one of the great ministries that we support. And then we turn around and we complement that by doing Celebrate Recovery here at the church. And I know this last year we've had somewhere between 8 and 12 salvations through Celebrate Recovery. Now, you made that possible. And I think you'd be a little bit more excited about that. Yeah. You know, if you're a giver in this church, part of what we take in goes to facilitate Celebrate Recovery. That's one of the most expensive outreaches that we do. And it is a very, very rewarding outreach that we do. And I don't know that there's a lot of people in this service that attends a Celebrate Recovery, but there will be several in the second service that attend Celebrate Recovery. And it's not only about drug addicts and alcoholics. It's about people who have any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up. And it is a very, very effective ministry that we do. In fact, we're going to be beginning a couple of new step studies. We'll be telling you about those pretty soon. A men's step study, a brand new men's step study, and a brand new women's step study. And we do have a woman's step study that is going at this time. So this is a year-long study that helps you deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups in your life. And this is something that we've been doing for about 4 years now. So Celebrate Recovery. Another outreach that we have is that we support Batesville Help and Hope. And it's a feeding program. People can come once a month and they can get food. We have supported them for a long time. Also, we do Batesville Area Ministers Fellowship. We give to that, which they turn around and they give that money to, I forget what that's called. But there's a lady who helps people with food, with utilities, with all kinds of things with that through, I think it's through NADC. And we partner with them, and we support that on a monthly basis. Also, for a long time, we have been supporters of the Alpha Pregnancy Center, which is a pro-life ministry that encourages young women. They pregnancy test, and they encourage women, rather than to seek abortion, to have their children. And so we've been a problem. We have been a part of that for several years also. Also, we support on a monthly basis Family Violence Center here locally. And also the Christian Health Center. We have been big supporters of them. As you know, we house them here for right now. We do fundraisers for them. We probably save them somewhere between $14,000 and $15,000 a year. Just by housing them right here, they don't have to pay rent. They don't have to pay utilities. They don't have to pay insurance. We have been blessed that we can be a part of that. And one thing that I love is that we don't have to do everything. Okay? We don't have to start a ministry to do everything. We can partner with other God-called ministries to make what they do easier. Why would I want to start a health clinic when I can support one? One that's going well. And it was a slow start for the clinic. And now they're up and going. They have their own facility. They haven't got to move into it yet. But we have poured thousands of dollars this year, either by in-kind services or money into the support of the Christian Health Clinic. Another ministry that we hook up with, we do this once a year, and it is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's an on-campus ministry on our high school and college level things, and we help do a golf tournament that is a fundraiser to raise the funds to do FCA on these campuses, and we're part of that also. One of the other things that we did this year, and we some of this we did through our life groups. Now, these are things that we do monthly. These are things that when you give, when you pay your tithes and you give your offerings, that money, part of that money goes to these organizations that we're talking about. So another thing that we did, and I think we did these through our life groups, and we try to drive a lot of our outreach through our life groups. We partnered with Mission at the Cross, and they did a clothing giveaway. They had a for free yard sale. That's what I call it, a free yard sale. And we went and cooked and gave chili and some of our life groups and our people volunteered to help with that. So that's an outreach that we did. We did a food giveaway, and I know we did this one day. We came across about 1,200 peaches and 1,800 ears of corn. So we went up and set up on West Side, and there were several people from different life groups that helped do this. And we gave away 1,200 peaches and 1,800 ears of corn in about 2 hours. And, you know, people, it's just such a blessing to be able to give to people who are needy and just to sow love. I remember handing a guy several sacks of stuff so he could give to his neighbors. And I said, God bless you. He said, you know what? Said, you have restored my faith in people. Evidently, somebody had done him wrong. And just an act of kindness restored his faith in people. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to take that as a seed to do something significant in his life. It's just simple things like that. We had a life group last year that built a wheelchair ramp for a needy person. One of the partnerships that we have as a church is that with the city of Batesville and with the shooting range across the road, they ask us to build picnic tables. So we built 8 picnic tables for the shooting range. 4 for the shooting range, and then we built 4 picnics for the North Complex out here. Now already, I don't know if it'll be this year or next year, we have been asked to supply all the picnic tables for the soccer fields, for what they do at the North Complex. And I think if they have any over in the Fitzhugh area that we have, the mayor has asked us, because I say, Mayor, do you have some projects for us? We want to serve our community. He always keeps us in mind. So we're going to be making picnic tables. We're probably going to make 20 or 30 picnic tables for these things that are coming up. You say, well, what does that have to do with the gospel? It has to do with the church being the church. It's not just about going out and standing on a street corner and preaching. Sometimes you have to show kindness to people before they're willing to listen to your message. So that's one of the things that we'll be doing. They've asked us, Rodney, a bridge. Get ready for a bridge. Over here at the North Complex, you're going to need a bridge over there. So they've asked us to build a bridge. Now, 2 years ago, we remodeled the park down by the bio. And one of the things that we did is we built a bridge over there. So we got to participate in that. We also, we did several things this Christmas. I know that First United, Central Avenue United Methodist Church does a big outreach for Christmas. They buy Christmas for over 200 kids. Well, that's not something that we need to do. So you know what we did? We partnered with them to help buy Christmas for those 200 kids. We donated $500 towards that. And so we partnered with them. You say, well, they got the credit for that. You know, it's not about who gets the credit. We're not in this to get credit. We're in this to represent the kingdom. And to demonstrate that it is possible for churches and ministries to work together towards a common goal. Amen. So we're excited about that. We had a life group that stripped and painted some rooms in a widow's house. And that turned out to be a huge project. That we had that same life group. There's an elderly couple that had a tree fall down, and they went out and they cut the tree up and got it ready to got it out of the way. Another life group that we have, they made an above ground garden out at Mill Heights Senior Citizens Assisted Living. Built about three or four of those above ground gardens, and we went in there and planted tomatoes and cucumbers and all of those kind of things, and blessed Mill Heights, the assisted living. In fact, that's part of my life group that I'm in. That's one of our projects that we do. So we participated in that. In fact, we not only did that, we had a cookout with them later in the year. You know, a lot of those people don't have anybody come see them. And one of the things that, you know, Jesus said, he says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. He talks about the widows and the orphans, about the neglected people. And some of those people are neglected. Some of them are not. But we were able to go over and have I think it was 4th of July that we did that, have a cookout with them. And then we went back during the Christmas season and we had a Christmas party with them. We took Santa Claus over there and we brought food and we sang Christmas carols. What is that? That's the church being the church. It's reaching out into your local community. And so that is an ongoing thing that we have going with them. Thanksgiving. We hooked up with the JCs and we fixed and delivered over 30 meals to people. Shut-in people and different people with different things. There, we had people who came here Thanksgiving Day and sacrificed part of their day to fix and then go out in the county and deliver those meals. And one thing that was so neat about that we had at least one family that says, this is going to become a new tradition in our life. And their kids were so excited about that. And this is one thing, Miss Nancy, that I want us to get into the culture of our kids, that we can start as young people serving our community. There are things that we can do as a family that can create memories and put the right heart in us so that we're constantly giving and flowing out and learn that as children. You know, it's so easy, especially during the Christmas season, that it's about getting gifts. What I got. Well, what about what we give? And that's such a blessing to be able to give and to flow out during these times of the year. We did some things like we did a blanket drive for the homeless. We did a coat drive for Mission at the Cross. So we helped them with that. We even had a group of people that helped with a half marathon. Of all things, that's not very spiritual. But you know what? It's sowing goodwill into our community. It's sowing goodwill into our community. There is a church that is willing to do things in a community. We did a canned food drive for Christmas Brings Hope. We gave Christmas gifts to some of the kids that celebrate recovery. We purchased a door for a lady who is battling cancer. She needed a door, and we in one of our life groups did that. One of our life groups did a fun day with the New Life Children's Home out of Oil Trough. They brought them into the church and into the game room, and they played games with them, and they fed them. You know, that blessed those kids. But I also believe it blessed that life group that was able to do that. One of the things that'll help you to do is when you help people that are less fortunate than you, it will make you thankful for your blessings. It will make you thankful for what God has done in your life. And you can flow out and you can share some of that with people who are hurting. Some of our life groups, they collected clothing and crocheted a hat for a cancer victim, a lady who was going through cancer. So they did that. One life group from up around Evening Shade in that area, they helped a single mom with a house and a vehicle. She was just destitute. And we partnered with some other groups, one of the schools up there and maybe some of the other churches up there. And we helped get that lady into a home and a vehicle to drive. And she was doing her best. She had a job, but some bad things had happened to her, and a group was able to partner. And that's the key, partner with other people to do some of those things. So we were able to participate in that. I'm going to miss some stuff, I know. We took clothing to the juvenile detention center. One of the fun things that several of us got to do is that every year the Christian school over here at Hope Lutheran, they do the pumpkin patch. Well, a couple of our life groups and several individuals got together when they brought those pumpkins in and unloaded those pumpkins. How many pumpkins were there? Hundreds of those pumpkins. And, you know, we this is the second year that we did that. Besides that, just general benevolence last year. That's people that we helped with light bills and gas and rent and stuff like that. We spent over $11,000 last year helping people. See, we exceeded one of our goals is at least 10% of what we do goes outside this church. And last year we took in over $400,000, and I know that we spent more than $40,000 last year in outreach. That's something that's important to us. And that's what we did locally. And I know I missed some stuff, but I only got so much time here. Here's some non-local things that we did. Here's some ministries that we support monthly. One of them is Larry Smith Ministries. He's a rodeo cowboy. He takes kids off the street and teaches them how to box. And then he takes them and compete in competition. We've supported him for over 20 years. Also, we support Dale Cohen, who is a Jew, a Christian Jew. In fact, I'm going to go on when I go to Israel. He's going to be the one that's leading that. And he is a minister to the Jews and to the Gentile churches, and we have supported him for several years. We also support Ecclesia College in Northwest Arkansas. We support two prison ministries, Terry Roark Ministries and Word of Victory, who have ministries in prison. One of the great things that we do is that we're a member of a group called the Association of Related Churches. 2% of all of our tithes and offerings goes to this ministry. It's called the ARC. And let me just share with you some of the things that they did last year. We sent almost $5,000 to the ARC last year. They're a church planting organization. They plant life-giving churches globally, a lot in the United States, some overseas. Their goal is to plant 2,000 churches by 2020. Last year, what we gave helped plant 65 new churches. And those church plants, on the day that they launched, Over 14,522 people attended those church launches. And of that, on those church launch days, 726 people made Jesus Lord. That's good. There was $2 million invested into church planting through the ARC last year. And those ARC churches, and that includes us, gave over $11 million to international mission projects. See, that's a group that we've partnered with for outreach. Also, we did Never Thirst last year. That's the people who do the clean water wells. And last year, and they have not drilled these wells yet, we raised enough money for six new wells. Now, altogether, the previous 2 years, we raised enough money for 13 wells. What we did in 2011, six of those wells, we know, well, 2012, I guess, some of them, we raised it in 11, and they drilled them in 12. What we are able to do out of just six of those 10 wells that we did last year, we are right now hooking up with six churches that is using these wells as a way to preach the gospel to people. And we are effectively, each of those villages combined together, of those six, we are providing 1,145 people with clean water that did not have clean water before. And that's only six of the 10. So I'm saying this year, this last year, we're probably supplying 2,000 people with clean water who didn't have it. Now, we take that for granted. That's a tremendous blessing to them. When you have a child die from bad water, you appreciate clean water. So we were able to do that. Also, we brought in the Watoto Children's Choir last year. We raised $6,200 for Watoto last year. We support some of the Watoto children. Many of you adopted Watoto children last year. We had Mission of Mercy here last year, and that is sponsoring kids to be able to go to school. And we adopted, this congregation adopted 60 kids last year and provide them means in different countries of the world to be able to get an education. Praise God. We also hooked up with Samaritan's Purse over Christmas. And we did, remember the shoebox Christmas that we did? We did over 60 shoeboxes that we sent worldwide. So we have had local impact, we have had regional impact, and we have had impact throughout the world last year. Let's give God a good hand. This is what He used your giving, both finances and volunteering, to accomplish. Now, I want to give you our challenge for this next year. I hope locally, I mean, I don't know what the Lord has for us out there, but we're going to be available to the needs that are out there. And we're going to do a lot of it through our life groups. And here again, I want to challenge our life group leaders. It's not just a study group. It's a reach out group. We pick projects throughout the year, and we do projects. We're a blessing. You do not grow by just studying the Word. You grow by doing the Word. You study, and then you do. And that's what these life groups are. All you do is study, all you do is get spiritually fat and critical. But if you study and do, you don't have time to be critical. Amen? So here's what we're going to do this next year. This is our goal. And this is our main project as far as outreach. And I'm not talking about locally. I'm talking about globally. We're going to plant a church this year in Cameroon, Africa. Now, our goal is to bring in the pastor that's going to be leading that church. His name is Caleb Yingo. And hopefully Caleb is going to come and spend a month or two with us. And we're going to let you meet him and get to know him and let him get to know what the heart of our church is. Because what we want to do is duplicate what we do here as a life-giving church and take that to that town in Cameroon. In it's in a town where there's a university. There's the great possibility that within 1 to 2 years that church could be larger than this church. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be raising the funds to make that happen. We're going to be able to influence that church. It will actually have believers in its name. We will have input into that church. It's not just going to be sending our money. We're going to be able to send our influence too. And hopefully one of our goals is to take some trips over there and take some people with us so that you can see what we're doing. So that you can participate in what we're doing. So that we can plant that new church. Already, as I began to talk about this to some of my friends, First Assembly has donated 100 chairs for that church plant. I was talking to a guy that I know at McDonald's the other day. Sometimes it's profitable to go to McDonald's. Glory be to Jesus. It cost a lot to go. But it's profitable. I met a guy and I was sharing with him. He says, you know what? I got some computers. If you got a guy that can work on them. And I've got printers. You know, it just so happens that we got guys in this church that works on computers. And we got a guy sitting back there that can work on printers. And so we'll be able to ship over there. And we'll be able to ship it for free. We'll be able to ship stuff over there. We've had a guitar and an amp donated. And we're going to need other items. And part of what we're going to raise the funds for is to buy the stuff that they need. We want to give them every advantage that they need over there. We want to make sure that they have a projector that they can project over there. So, why is that important? Because they are impacting college kids. And if you can impact them and use technology to do that, you're going to get their attention. This church in Cameroon could become a very, very impactful church in that nation. And that's what we want to be about. We're not starting churches just to start churches. We're starting this church hoping and believing that it's going to impact that nation from the ground up. Because they're going to be educating those kids. They're going to be doctors. They're going to be lawyers. They're going to be engineers. And they're going to go back into their town. And if we can impact them, guess what? We can change a nation. Believers, community, church can be part of changing a nation. Are you with it? Could you get behind that? You said yes. So we're going to ask you to give to it. That's going to be part of what we raise some funds for. And we'll probably do some more wells this next year. We've hooked up with Never Thirst. Spencer Sutton is a wonderful believer. And he's got a heart to reach these countries and impact them with the gospel through fresh water. So what's our challenge? Our challenge is to keep the vision before us. Our challenge is to not run wild and unrestrained, but keeping the vision before us, ordering our lives around our personal visions, our personal financial visions. You know what? If you don't have a financial vision, your finances will get in trouble. That will affect your ability to give. That'll affect your ability in so many ways in your life, not just in your giving, but in your living. So keep your goals simple. Make them God-oriented goals, financially, family-wise. Set priorities in your life so that you don't run amok and that God can bring all of our hearts together as a church and He can cause us to have the impact that He has designed us to have as Believers Community Church. Amen. All right, let's stand. Let's give God some praise. Can we do that? Father, we thank you today. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord today. We give you praise and honor and glory in this place. We thank you for what you have already accomplished. That you've already accomplished in Jesus' name. That you've accomplished something good through us this last year. But Lord, I know that you have greater things for us. And we thank you for that. And we commit our hearts to what you want to do. Lord, help us to keep that at the center of who we are and what we do. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being here today.